Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. On today's program, I'm going to continue to bring you the facts about the biological differences between blacks and other races, which are so many and so evident that any reasonable scientific assessment would categorize sub-Saharan Africans, at the very least, as a separate subspecies. But first, let me take a moment and reflect on the past year and the new year, which is just beginning. Last week's program coincided with the 23rd anniversary of American Dissident Voices, ADV. And with this show, we begin our 24th year. It was also 1 year ago that Will Williams asked me to restart this program after it had been abandoned by the unworthy nominal successors of William Pierce. We're now on our 53rd program since that day. Will Williams' leadership went further than just ADV, however. He restarted the National Alliance as soon as it became known to him that the misleadership had openly abandoned Dr. Pierce's vision and were even disbanding the Alliance as a membership organization. With his own funds and his two strong arms and with a few faithful and true men and women behind him, he built a new media center and office complex for the Reborn Alliance. He rescued two large National Alliance libraries, including Dr. Pierce's invaluable research library, including a large amount of his correspondence and notes from the auctioneer's block. And a few weeks ago, a spirit of negotiation prevailed over the spirit of confrontation, and former Green Beret Williams managed to rescue the corporate assets of the National Alliance itself and was named chairman. And he rescued not just the Alliance, but National Vanguard Books, the Cosmotheist Community Church, all the land and buildings of our West Virginia community, all the valuable internet domains and copyrights and inventory, too. I have known Will Williams for over 2 decades. He is as honest in his life and in his dealings as he is uncompromising in his philosophy and his dedication and loyalty. A Vietnam combat veteran, no one knows conflict better than he. But he is a level-headed man and knows how to gain his objectives without it when he can. And this he has accomplished. There is much for us to do. The Alliance was looted, and the misleadership drove away many of our best people. A core group has formed again, and the quality of that core is already starting to attract and unite others. Staff members are beginning to repair our community's infrastructure, which has been neglected for years. Others are working to rebuild and modernize our media. One result this week is the reopening of natall.com, that's natall.com, as the main National Alliance organizational presence on the web. As MP Scheel wrote a few days ago on National Vanguard, quote, "It will serve as an initial first impression and explanation of the Alliance for prospective members, featuring updated editions of our summary doctrinal statement, What We Believe, and the comprehensive in-depth introduction to our program and history of the Alliance, our booklet, What is the National Alliance?" We've already gotten some very positive reactions to the site, and it's only been open for a few hours as I write. In some ways, we are starting from scratch, but the question we should ask ourselves is not, is it difficult? But rather, is it necessary? 2015 will be a year of hard work. I ask those of you not afraid of sacrifice and getting your hands dirty to give us all the help you can. The time for squabbling has ended. the time for using self-interested lawyers and the system's courts against fellow strivers in our cause has ended. It is time for us to close ranks and work for our people's liberation. Those who prefer our path, William Pierce's path, will join us. Those who prefer another path should take it. All of us should ask ourselves these questions. Where is your outreach? Where can the seeking white man or woman find your values, your moral system, your answers to the great issues of our age? We aim to answer all those questions proudly. I hope you can too, and soon. The dark time that precedes the great noontide is upon us. You're listening to American Dissident Voices. The enemies of our people are the most race-conscious people on earth. They even have a racial state of their own, secured with the stolen wealth and spilled blood of Americans in the Middle East. It was one of their own tribe, Benjamin Disraeli, who asserted, quote, "All is race, there is no other truth," close quote. And with a few exceptions, they surely believe it. But to us, they say the opposite. They tell us, race is a social construct. Scientists agree, biological race does not exist. Well, let's find out if what they say is true. Let's delve once again into the scientific facts assembled by Richard Furley in his superb book, Erectus Walks Amongst Us. If you haven't listened to part one of this series, I urge you to do so now. This is part two. The white infant comes into the world with its brain enclosed by 15 disunited bony plates. The occipital bone being divided into four parts, the sphenoid into three, the frontal into two, each of the two temporals into two, and with the two parietals making 15 plates in all. The Negro infant, however, is born with a small, hard, smooth, round head like a gourd, instead of the frontal and temporal bones being divided into six plates, as in the white child, they form but one bone in the Negro infant. The sacral index is the breadth of the sacrum, the five fused vertebrae that are connected to the pelvis, as a percentage of its length. Walking upright increased the sacral index, enabling the sacrum to better support the internal organs. So a low sacral index is more primitive, and a high sacral index is more modern. The sacral index averages 112 for Europeans, 101.5 for Japanese, 91.4 for Negroes, and 87 for orangutans. A post-orbital constriction is a pinching of the skull just behind the eye sockets. It allows more room for large chewing muscles, but indicates a smaller forebrain, the center of planning and abstract thought. The illustration I'll include in the written version of this broadcast shows a chimpanzee skull and the skulls of an Australian Aborigine and a Caucasian, followed by front views of Asian, African, and European skulls. The difference between Eurasians and Africans in their nasal spines is dramatic. The anterior nasal spine is a small bone that extends outward from the middle of the base of the nasal cavity. It supports a nose that protrudes. The nasal spine is prominent in Caucasians, less so in Asians, and small or absent in Africans and African Americans. The race of a skull can be determined by placing a pen across the base of the nasal cavity. If the pen is held in place by the nasal spine, the skull is Caucasian. If it rolls off, the skull is African. Chimpanzees and gorillas also lack a true anterior nasal spine. There are two strategies that living things can use to create the next generation with the limited amount of energy they have available for reproduction. One, they can invest that energy in a large number of progeny, putting only a little energy into each one, so that although most will not survive, there will be so many of them that a few will survive. This is called by scientists an R strategy. Or two, they can invest that energy into only a few progeny, putting more energy into each one. For example, as food in an egg, larger size at birth, body fat, milk, or care after birth, so that each one has a better chance of surviving. This is called a K strategy. R and K come from an equation in which R stands for rate and K for carrying capacity. Salmon, for example, have an R strategy, laying millions of eggs that are then abandoned. Most die, but enough survive to make the next generation. An elephant, on the other hand, has a K strategy, having only a single 170 to 250 pound baby after 22 months of pregnancy, which is then nursed by the mother for 3 to 5 years. Most living things are in between the extreme R and the extreme K strategies. All humans have a very K strategy, but the races differ considerably in how K they are. J. Philippe Rushton has done a superb job of documenting racial differences in reproductive strategy, concluding that blacks are the least K, Asians the most K, and Caucasians in between, but close to Asians. An R strategy correlates with low IQ, tropical adaptations, poverty, and other traits, and a K strategy correlates with their opposites. The more R reproductive strategy of blacks also correlates with their earlier puberty and sexual activity, more sexual partners, more impulsivity, and less ability to plan. Of 500 blacks and 500 whites earning more than $50,000 annually, blacks saved less than half the median amount that whites saved. That's from the 10th Annual Black Investor Survey by Ariel Schwab. An interesting example of planning is the ancient summer solstice fertility ritual on June 21, practiced by Europeans in northern latitudes to ensure that most babies are born in the spring when food is plentiful and the weather is mild. This ritual survives today as June weddings. Much of man's progress is due to his ability to visualize the future and act now to ensure a better future. Temporalization is what it's called. Asians do it the most, Africans the least, and Caucasians in between, but close to Asians, with overlapping bell-shaped curves describing individuals within those races. Like all traits, there is an optimal amount of temporalization. Having too much of it means one does not live to see the future, while too little means one makes no progress. In Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe, and South Africa, the white farmers taught Africans farming and herding for 4 years. The black farmers produced 10 times as much as before. The whites left and returned 2 years later to find the farmers had reverted to their previous behavior. There are also dramatic racial reproductive differences in twinning. For every 1,000 white births, 8 are twins. For every 1,000 African births, more than 16 are twins. For every 1,000,000 white births, 100 are triplets. For every 1,000,000 African births, 1,700 are triplets. Total fertility rates are also dramatically different. For whites, it is 1.5. For Africans, it is 5.5. In the United States, the average woman will be a source of 14 children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. That's 14. The comparable figure for an African woman is 258. In general, more primitive creatures develop more quickly. Blacks develop noticeably more quickly than whites. A black child has developed its ability to hold its head upright within 9 hours after birth. For a white child, this typically takes 6 weeks. A black child can hold its head in position to look at an adult within 2 days after birth. For a white child, this takes some 8 weeks. Pair bonding is related to monogamy, the extent to which men and women limit their sexual activity to a single partner. Pair bonding supports a family structure for raising children, a more K reproductive strategy. Since the burden of provisioning fell more heavily upon men in the cold north than in the warm tropics, where women gathered most of the food for themselves and their children, it was more difficult for a man in the north to support more than one wife. Monogamy is more typical of the colder climates, while polygamy is more typical of the tropics. In sub-Saharan Africa, a woman is more likely to have children by different fathers, and the children are raised not by a family, but by the village. Monogamy was induced by females when they evolved to hide obvious indications that they were fertile, e.g. bright red genitalia or rumps, so that the males stayed around for sex all the time and helped raise the kids instead of chasing after other females. Unlike female apes who give obvious signals when they are in estrus, that is, capable of conceiving, it is not obvious when a human female is ovulating. Concealed ovulation in females leads to copulatory vigilance in males. That is, males had to stay close to the female as much as possible to keep other males away and be certain that the other males did not father her children. That would also promote pair bonding. Pair bonding was an important step toward becoming human. And since there is less of it in Africa, that suggests that it did not originate in Africa and that man's lineage became human outside of Africa. The hormone-driven feeling of falling in love is clearly an adaptation that induces pair bonding. Thus, the feeling should have been absent prior to pair bonding and should be diminished in Africans who pair bond less. Blacks have the highest incidence of sexually transmitted diseases, STDs, a consequence of their promiscuity and impulsiveness. Of the roughly 1 million people estimated to be living with HIV in the United States, 47% are African American, and they were 56% of the newly diagnosed HIV cases in 2005. African Americans represent about 12.8% of the U.S. population, but black men are diagnosed with HIV at more than 7 times the rate of white men, and black women at 20 times the rate of white women. The prevalence of the AIDS virus doubled from 1% to 2% of American blacks, while white rates held steady at 0.2%. Non-Hispanic blacks between 19 and 24 years of age are 20 times more likely to be infected with HIV than young adults in any other racial or ethnic group in the U.S., and all the top 15 countries for HIV/AIDS in 2005 were African. Blacks have higher rates for other sexually transmitted diseases as well, which can also be attributed to their promiscuity and failure to practice safe sex, which requires anticipating future consequences of current acts. In 2006, the U.S. African American chlamydia rate was 8 times the white rate. The African American gonorrhea rate was 18 times the white rate. The black congenital syphilis rate in 2005 was 15.1 times the white rate. About 40% of U.S. black adults have genital herpes, compared to 14% of whites. Nearly half of black girls ages 14 to 19 have at least one STD, compared to 20% for white girls. There are racial differences in reactions to foods, drugs, and other substances, too. In June of 2005, the Food and Drug Administration, FDA, approved the sale of Bidil, a drug that reduces damage to the heart in African Americans, but has little effect on Eurasians. The FDA specifically permitted its sale to be directed at blacks. Genspec Labs, LLC, is even marketing race-tailored vitamins, specially designed to meet the needs of African Americans, Hispanics, and Caucasians. There are racial differences in susceptibility to various diseases, even neuroses and psychoses, but especially debilitating diseases such as cancer and genetic diseases. For example, whites have much more melanoma, skin cancer, than blacks, but far more blacks have a deadlier form of it. African Americans are more than twice as susceptible as whites to developing prostate cancer by age 55, and that is due at least in part to a gene variant in chromosome 8. Blacks are also more susceptible to tuberculosis. Northern Europeans, on the other hand, are more susceptible to cystic fibrosis. Two well-known racial genetic diseases are sickle cell anemia in Africans and Tay-Sachs disease in European Jews, but there are many others. In fact, the number of medical differences between the races is so great that it would take an entire book just to describe them all. A black medicine specialty is arising, and there is even a journal, Ethnicity and Health, devoted to medical differences between the races. Blacks at Howard University have started a program to identify genes unique to blacks so that medical treatment can be specifically tailored for blacks. To argue that race is just a social concept, when the human body reacts differently to chemical and biological substances and infectious organisms depending upon race, illustrates how perfectly nonsensical that position is. The popular science magazine, Discover, published an article, "Our Genes Prove It, We Are Family," which asserted, quote, "Humans are all so closely related that our entire population shows less genetic diversity than a small group of chimpanzees," close quote. Jared Diamond informs us, quote, "What we recognize as racial markers are biologically next to meaningless," close quote. And Scientific American published "Does Race Exist?", which denied that genetic information can be used to distinguish human groups that have a common heritage and assign individuals to those groups. Even though, for about $100, you can have a DNA test done that will do exactly that, though they will tell you it is the geographical area your ancestors came from, not your racial makeup. The origin of Europeans can sometimes be determined from DNA to within a few hundred kilometers. None of these magazines apologize to their readers for misleading them. Repeatable Independent academic research has established that with 100 genetic markers, it is possible to sort people whose known ancestors are from Africa, Europe, Asia, or the Americas with almost 100% accuracy. Other scientists determine the continent people came from with perfect intercontinental differentiation using only 14 single nucleotide polymorphisms, or SNPs. Only 50 SNPs were needed to assign people to 9 different populations. Indeed, in some cases, DNA could reveal your surname, and if you are European, your geographic origin within a few hundred kilometers. But never mind genes, never mind reproductive strategy, never mind skull form, never mind differences in primitive versus modern traits, never mind skeletal differences, never mind brain differences, never mind differences in body chemistry, never mind genetic distance, and of course and above all, never mind behavioral differences. Never mind all that. We are told by our masters that biological race does not exist, and that is that. Our race's enemies lie with malice aforethought. They lie with hatred in their hearts. They lie with genocide on their minds. They lie when they tell us that race is a social construct and biological race does not exist. We'll continue to show you more proof of the utter falsity of their lies next week on American Dissident Voices. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance, founded by William Luther Pierce in 1970. This program is published every week at whitebiocentrism.com and nationalvanguard.org. Please write to us at National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. We welcome your support, your inquiries, and your help in spreading our message of hope to our people. Once again, that address is Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you to keep on thinking free.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth.